One of the things that fascinated me as a child was to stand in a valley and to shout something. And then you heard the words coming back to you, the echo. Now, I found that quite amazing. And I suppose I didn't quite understand how it worked at that stage until I went to school and learned about physics and frequency and sounds and nodes and antinodes and all the things that we learned when we went to the Royal School and so on in Dungannon. But at that time, I lived in an area, and I'm going to put a picture up of it now, a picture known as the Clocher Valley in County Tyrone. You'll recognize from my accent, it's not from Ballymena. We may live in Ballymena at this moment in time, but that's just how it is. The Clocher Valley is an area about 150 square miles right in the heart of Ulster, stretching from Castle Caulfield and Ben Burb right across to the Tyrone from Manna border, outside Five Mile Town, including eight small towns, of which Auchnacloy, where I lived at that time, was probably one of the most prominent. But it's surrounded, I think the next picture will show you, it's surrounded really with hills, and it's a funnel-shaped area, go right in the very heart of Ulster, and that was home to me in the Clocher Valley. Some years ago, when we were in Israel, and very sad to say, the state that Israel's in, we'll be thinking about that in our prayers in a little bit later. But some years ago, we had the privilege, as I'm sure many of you have had, of going to the Holy Land, and we saw around Jerusalem lots of hills and valleys. And probably one of the most famous one, and you see it indeed these days as they're reporting the terrible atrocities outside Jerusalem, the reporter is standing with Jerusalem in the background, and he's standing between it and the Mount of Olives in what is known as the Valley of Jezreel. And in the Valley of Jezreel, of course, there's a very famous garden. We all know about the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, we don't know if Jesus ever cried out in the Valley of Jezreel to test the echo, but we do know that in that valley where the Garden of Gethsemane is, Jesus suffered intense agony and suffering, and he found his friends fast asleep. It's this word valley that's thinking about today. Because very often we use the word valley in the sense that I want to use it in this talk as a low time in our lives. And whenever we're in a valley, we see all we can see around us are hills. And we don't feel like singing "The Hills Are Alive" with the sound of music. We feel trapped. And very often if you're in a valley, and I don't know what your situation is, if you're in a valley experience, you almost feel trapped in and not in a very good way. I'm deeply suspicious of those who are always bubbling in their faith and everything seems to be all rosy and all on top and the Lord is near all the time. Well, the Lord is near. But you know, sometimes if we're honest, a lot of our lives are spent in a valley kind of experience or at least in between because that's the way life is. It's not a lot of fun to live in the valley, to be in a valley. Now, what valleys do we meet in the scripture? The most obvious one is Psalm number 23, of course. The one that is probably the best known, the Valley of the Shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Those are well-known words. We take encouragement from them. We sing them, we read them at the happiest times of our lives, we read them in the saddest experiences that our families ever go through. The comfort we have that God is with us when we go through the valley of the shadow. And the point I want to make is that here in those well-known words, David is expressing faith that in the darkest, deepest, most difficult valley of all, God is there. I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. In that valley, the Christian faith, I believe, shines the greatest light. The greatest light. Now, some people say all religions are the same. No, I don't believe that. There is no other religion in the world. There is no other philosophy. There is no other ideal. There is nothing that gives more hope in the darkest valleys to which we must pass than the Christian faith. And the valley of the shadow is one valley we will all pass through unless the Lord comes in the meantime. So I say it again. The Christian faith shines the brightest light in the darkest valley that life ever throws at us. We started our ministry in County Monaghan. We were there for 9 years, then went to Randleside, and then 20 years in Kilrats. But I used to visit a man who lived not very far from the manse in Castleshane in County Monaghan where we lived. It's interesting, he was one of those men who wasn't out much because his health, he was suffering from a very debilitating disease. But he wasn't able to get out. But you know, like many people who can't get out much, they know everything that's going on. I don't know if that's the experience right here or not. He knew everything, all the gossip of the countryside and everything that was going on and the talk. And that obviously, whenever I went to visit him, there would be a certain amount of conversation about the various things and the various people and the neighbours and so on. And very often, naturally, the death of someone was obviously talked about whenever I go to make a pastoral visit. But he would nearly always ask the same question about the person who died. And his question was this. He said, Mr. McLean, he said, were they ready to go? Were they ready to go? Now, that's a question, of course, that people don't like being asked. And yet, it's a very, very important question to face. Are we ready to go? And it brings out again that in the darkest valley that life will set before us, the Christian faith is the only way and the only lamp to light the way. I want you to notice something else about that phrase on the screen. The valley of the shadow. Shadow. A shadow can be very frightening. Cast your mind back to when you were a child and a shadow was a bit spooky sometimes. It was frightening. But the point is, a shadow will not harm you. A shadow cannot harm you. And I think it's no accident that the phrase valley of the shadow is used in Scripture to describe death for the person who is trusting firmly in God and in Christ. And here's another thing. A valley is not a dead-end street. A valley is something you pass through. Just like you pass through the Clogher Valley if you're going to Inniskillen or going out to the west or wherever it happens to be. You pass through. And I emphasize it again. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died in your place and mine, will go before us and lead us through. Lead us through. And all he asks us to do is to trust him. You have a lovely range of singing in this church with old and new. The singing of paraphrases probably is not as popular now as it used to be some years ago because we have a larger repertoire of praise items. But one we used to sing, I don't know if you sung it here in Ballywillen or not, you used to sing it in my congregation from time to time, paraphrase 42 to Kilmarnock, let not your heart with anxious thoughts. And one of the verses, one of the stanzas of that says this, I go your entrance to secure, and your abode prepare, regions unknown are safe to you when I, your friend, am there. That's a wonderful truth of the gospel, a truth of the Christian faith, that regions unknown are safe to you when Jesus is there. We're passing through, passing through. I remember as a boy, and maybe some of the older people here will recall the same kind of thing. If you lived out in the country where there were no streetlights, you used to visit people at nights along in a country road. Doesn't happen much now, and more is the pity. And I used to be a little bit frightened. And there were no streetlights, of course, in a country road, and particularly all those years ago. And we used to carry a torch, maybe, but we would go by the light of the moon, perhaps. But the torch didn't shine round the corner. It was a wee bit frightening. But of course you learned that the torch only showed you one step at a time. And the point that you learned was you take the one step, and as you move, the torch moves with you, and another step becomes clear. Isn't that a picture of faith? That whatever valley we're in, even though we can't see what's round the corner, the principle is there. We walk by faith, not by sight. And if we walk with Jesus, it'll not take the darkness away. It'll not make the moon shine brighter. But you will know that he is there with you, and you can trust him, even in the valley. Yes, even in the valley of the shadow. I want you to think about that valley today. Well-known words, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow. But of course, there are other valleys as well. And Stephanie read for us there a few minutes ago from Psalm number 84. Psalm number 84 talks about the valley of Baca. What on earth is the psalmist talking about? Well, verse 6. The psalmist, whoever he was, we're not told who it was, he was making his way to the house of God. And whether he was a priest that was going there to perform a duty, or whether he was simply an ordinary Jew going there to worship, we do not know, because the psalmist only tells of his thoughts as he makes this way up to the place of worship. Now, at that time, of course, people believed that God could only be met in a certain place. And so with joy and enthusiasm, this person makes his way along with others along the journey to the house of God. But there's a difficult part of the journey. The Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca. The word Baca in Hebrew suggests trees that grow only grow in dry, arid conditions. So therefore, I think we can assume reasonably that this part of the Valley of Baca was a difficult, exhausting part of the journey to go on, and that the psalmist was not looking forward particularly to this part of the journey. It's like riding a bicycle. It's fine riding downhill. When you come on a hill, there's a bit you're not looking forward to. Well, this was a bit, I think, that the journey that the psalmist wasn't looking forward to, the Valley of Baca. And he prays for strength to complete the journey. But what is what happened? The rain has come. The autumn rains have come, and the result is that the dry valley is now little pools of water, and amidst the normal desolation, it's a totally different place. And therefore, the journey to the house of God at that part takes on a totally different meaning. The Valley of Baca. I think the Valley of Baca symbolizes really the hard, tough times that we go through in life. And we all have those kind of experiences. Tough places. What sort of places are there? Well, I'm going to suggest some. First of all, there's the valley of adolescence when nothing seems certain. And you know, this is one of the problems young people are struggling with, and they're struggling with far more these days than when some of us were at teenage years. And therefore, the role of the church, I believe, is to help. And sometimes maybe we don't. Maybe we cast it aside and we give more attention to other forms of ministry. Maybe the church needs more warm spaces in churches for teenagers to talk and to share their disappointment. The valley of adolescence is a very difficult valley for many of our young people to go through, and something we need to be aware of. But then there's the valley of disappointment. Disappointment. A relationship broken, perhaps. A job lost. An exam failed, a marriage breakdown, family problems, whatever. There's an unending list of disappointments that we face in this life, in these valley experiences. And the issue may not seem important to us, but yet to the person, it's the end of the world, the valley of disappointment. Let none of us misunderstand the pain and agony that people face in the valley of disappointment, and that can take many, many, many different forms. we are glad to be in church today. We're able to come. Because, of course, there is the valley of sickness, depression, mental health. There's so much talk about that these days, and rightly so. It's easy to say how we would react if we were in the circumstances. And many people are struggling very much with that. I'll never forget, in one of my congregations, I had the occasion to visit a man 35 years of age, I think he was, in Beaver Park Hospital. And I was with him the night that he took his last breath. He was a lovely man. But he said to me one time, and I never forgot it, I never will, the longest day I live. He said, "Mr. McLean, if you have your health, you're a millionaire." I never forgot that. Because it's true. We groan about all kinds of things. But if you have your health, you're a millionaire. A blessing of health and strength that God has given us that we ought to take, we must never take for granted. And we ought to thank him all our days. The valley of sickness. You can think of others. There are lots of different valleys that people have. I knew a lady once. She came from the very west of Donegal, way at Ardaragh. She came from a very prominent, very affluent, influential Church of Ireland family. She fell in love with a labourer, a different persuasion. Family didn't like it. They had to elope. And they left the area and they lived not far from where I lived as a boy and eventually returned to England. I suppose they're dead long since. But every day you talk to that lady, it was clearly obvious she lived in a valley of disapproval. All the days of her life, it never left her, the valley of disapproval. The people thought that the person that she married wasn't good enough for her, and they disowned her. How awful. That still happens, I'm afraid, today. And you can think of different valleys. That's what I want you to do, to thinking of different valleys that people are going through in this life. Adversity comes into all our pathway. Life is not all sunshine, nor indeed is the path smooth, nor indeed did Jesus ever promise it would be. But he promised to be with us. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he promised that he would be with us in whatever valley and whatever experience of life, good or bad. Never far from us, but never nearer to us than when we need him the most. And the tragedy is that sometimes, so often, we keep him at arm's length to utter peril. I believe as a Christian that God's Son, Jesus, who came to walk this earth 2,000 years ago, makes all the difference. It makes a difference as to how we see death. Yes, of course it does. But it makes a difference also because faith is for living here and now. And whatever valley you're in, and I do not know, but whatever valley you may be about to go in, you don't need to go on your own. Because like the simplistic children's chorus with Christ in the vessel, you may smile at the storm. Well, smile is not a particularly good word. But the principle is there nonetheless. With faith in Christ, you will get through somehow. And it might just be like what I said in the illustration about walking in the moonlight, walking with a torch. It will be one small step at a time. You'll get through. You'll fear no evil because God is with you, his rod and staff. They comfort you. I hope you believe those words that we sing so often. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that reminds us that you never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what age we are, no matter who we are, no matter what our experience may be, that our times are in your hand and there's no better place they could ever be. Lord God, grant us faith to trust you, faith that believes in your purpose. And when life is tough, Lord, grant us even greater faith, faith to know that you still care. But our Father, today we pray for those who are going through very difficult valleys at this moment in time. We pray, Lord, for maybe those who are elderly in this congregation, and with a helpful list of people whose names are connected with this church, at home and residential or nursing homes, maybe some in hospital. Lord, you understand the valley of sickness and the valley of old age and the valley whenever things just are not where they used to be. Lord, we want to pray for those people whose names are on that sheet, and for those who are known to us, whatever valley they're in, Lord, may they see the light of Jesus Christ, and may they have faith in him to believe that you care for them. And then, Lord, we talked about the valley of Jezreel in Israel. And Father, how sad we are to see the tragedies that are unfolding in Israel and Gaza at this time. How awful it is to see the situation of children and young people being displaced and affected, and so many whose livelihoods have been turned completely and utterly upside down. Father, we pray that there may be an end, that there will be a dialogue, that there will be some means that will be put in place soon and very soon to bring an end to this awful, awful situation in that part of the world, the very place where Jesus walked. Lord God, for the people of Israel and Gaza, Lord, we pray that there will be peace soon. Father God, we pray for all who are struggling with life. There are those who are struggling because life, the valley of poverty. People are struggling trying to make ends meet and the various situations. People struggling because of family responsibilities and tough times. Oh Lord, you understand the needs, the cares. We know that Jesus ministered to those that were struggling in life. He touched the leper. He spoke to the woman, the person who had lost her son, raised him dead. Went to the home of Mary and Martha. Lord, where there's trouble, we pray, Lord, that there may be a real sense of the living God, and that we might know your peace through the storm, whatever that storm may be. So, Lord God, hear our prayer today, for we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.